Welcome in, Eagles fans. Louis DiBiase here with you on another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Available, as always, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Joining me on the show today, one of my partners in crime. You can follow him on Twitter, at LarsLewis12. It's Mr. Lars Lewis himself. What's going on, buddy?
Well, Louis, today it's kind of a sad day, considering what the news we received earlier this afternoon. However, though, I think this podcast can be uplifting to Eagles fans, maybe a little discouraging. We don't know exactly. We're going to explore some options on what this team is going to do regarding the secondary for their defense. I got a couple things that I've got in mind that may shock you, and it may shock a lot of people considering the options that are there.
Okay, and you know, obviously, if you're an Eagles fan, you're on social media, you heard the news today, listening to sports radio, whatever, it's been talked about. The Eagles starting safety, Rodney McLeod, tore his MCL, and he is out for the season, which is really tough news, considering it really seemed like the Eagles are finally getting back to full strength, Lars, especially on offense. You know, Carson Wentz returns last week. He looks good. They're getting back Alshon Jeffrey this week, most likely, but they're definitely getting back Jay Ajayi and Darren Sproles. So it seems like, okay, this Eagles team is at full health now. And then on the defensive side, which was pretty much healthy the entire year, you lose one of the more underrated defensive players on your team in Rodney McLeod. And it's a tough pill to swallow, because, again, it doesn't seem like this team can catch a break with injuries, and McLeod is out for the season. So the Eagles are going to have to try to repeat without a key staple of that defense in the Super Bowl win last year. I mean, you saw it. I look back to the main play in that Super Bowl against the Patriots when Rodney McLeod, on a third and goal, body slams Brandon Cooks to the ground and holds them on that play to make them try a field goal that they ended up missing. So it was that whole bend don't break mentality in the red zone against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and Rodney McLeod was a big part of that. You know, he's why the Eagles can use Malcolm Jenkins at dime linebacker, at slot corner, have him roam around and shadow tight ends and running backs like he did with the Patriots, covering James White and Deion Lewis for most of the game. He's not flashy. A lot of the time he's playing deep in you know, cover one in some zones where he's just helping over top guys like Jalen Mills, who needs help over top. But at the same time, he makes some big plays. He has a cornerback history as well. I can't tell you how many times this year already he should have a pick six. He probably should have had four interceptions in these three games. Hasn't come down with them, but he was jumping passes. His route recognition was really strong so far this year. Lars, it's a tough one. And, you know, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about what the Eagles can do, maybe in-house. Can they go out and sign somebody, maybe make some trades? But that's coming up today on the Locked On Eagles podcast, as we are discussing the torn MCL of Rodney McLeod. Again, a big loss for the Eagles. But yeah, Lars, I mean, like I said, it kind of limits them now on what they – it's just one less option for what they can do formation-wise on defense.
Yeah, he's played nearly every game since the 2016 season.
And he's on the field every play.
Basically, the guy is one of the pieces that holds that defense together, I think, along with Fletcher Cox on the interior and the front four. He is so solid in what he does. It's like you said, he's overlooked by a lot of casual fans, but what he does out there, he's able to patrol the deep ball. Philadelphia is so good at defending the deep ball. I mean, yeah, they had a rough go against the Buccaneers in week two, but honestly, who hasn't this season?
True.
But Rodney McLeod, like you said, he's been jumping passes. He's been getting in front of a lot of balls. He's been making key plays throughout this season. He's had six interceptions in his first 2 years. He should have a lot more.
He should.
But I would think that it's gonna be tough to replace him, because when you got a guy who knows the defense as well as he does, it's tough to just stick one guy in there, and I think they may have to rely on Corey Graham to come in his spot. I mean, he's 33 years old. He was signed during the training camp to return for his second season.
And he was already playing 55% of the snaps anyway, so Graham is going to be on the field.
He's had reps, and the guy's been playing long enough to know his position. And I know it's a bit of a step down from McLeod, considering that Corey Graham is older. He's kind of lost a step or two. But maybe he could be that piece that can hold it together for now, Or do you think, Louis, they look elsewhere and try to upgrade throughout the rest of this season?
Yeah, look, I don't think this is going to be a killer. It's not losing Fletcher Cox.
It does hurt, though.
It absolutely hurts. I'm not trying to diminish the loss, but, you know, with how the Eagles used McLeod, it was a guy that played mostly deep back, and he's not Malcolm Jenkins where he's just doing five different assignments on defense in one game where, you know, what McLeod does was very valuable. But, you know, Corey Graham, they do have Graham still, who has, again, played 55% of the snaps. You do still have Malcolm Jenkins. They brought back Trey Sullivan. So, you know, it's not going to kill them. They're still, outside of that, at full strength right now on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, this is probably not what you're going to see is the Eagles are probably going to use primarily three corners and have Jenkins as that second safety. So sometimes he's going to have to play back more than he normally would. And, you know, just Corey Graham out there when Jenkins floats, maybe you just go with a lot of single safety looks. But there are times, though, where they like to have three safeties, where Sidney Jones doesn't play or they like to just use one linebacker and have Malcolm Jenkins as that second, you know, dime-like linebacker. But you still want a fourth guy with your three corners, you know, up on the line of scrimmage covering somebody with also a safety back. So who's going to be that guy when they do want to go to three safety looks? I don't think it's going to be Trey Sullivan. I certainly hope it's not. You know, they have DeAndre Hall. They have some younger guys at safety right now, Jeremy Reeves on the practice squad, but I think they're going to have to look at a couple different avenues, Lars. I think maybe some guys in-house that are at corner right now, maybe some free agent looks, because just having Corey Graham he's made some good plays. You know, he jumped a pass against the Colts, nearly intercepted it on a blitz. He's had some good coverage on the linebackers, or on the tight ends, excuse me, against the Colts. And also in Atlanta, he did a really good job with Jordan Hicks double covering Julio Jones in the red zone when they won that game. So, you know, he's had his ups and downs, but there's also times where he has a liability in space because he's older. He doesn't have the explosion he used to. So
the lateral movement is a big thing.
So sometimes he is a liability. So, you know, that's the big part. And Rodney McLeod is certainly going to be a loss. And he was having a really, really strong season so far. And it just stinks because, you know, he even said after the game he didn't think it was too serious. He was walking off on his own power. But, you know,
that's kind of how it's like with all injuries when it comes to the ligaments, whether the MCL, the ACL, the PCL. You're
Carson
able
Wentz
to walk
to the sidelines. I mean, Carson Wentz went walking.
He even ran
a
play after that.
He threw a touchdown, in fact.
I remember Phillip Rivers played a whole half on a torn ACL.
Yeah, so sometimes it's not clear. You're not getting carted off every time for that. It's not as obvious as others. So,
but obviously your mobility is shot.
Right. And I was all holding out hope though, because he told the media he was fine. It didn't seem like a lot of people were concerned. And this came out of, you know, left field today, if you ask me. But, you know, it's certainly a tough loss for an Eagles team that, again, health-wise, they just keep getting the back end of it. So,
but that's a good thing about this team, because they're deep. They have a lot two deep positions everywhere throughout this club. And, yes, like we said, Corey Graham is going to be a bit of a step down from McLeod. But one thing about Corey Graham that I've really loved throughout his career is play recognition. He's able to recognize plays still, even at his age. Your physical skills might be starting to diminish, but he's always been good at reading a play, and especially reading a quarterback. He's been making a living out of it throughout his whole career, and he was especially good at it in Baltimore.
That's a good point. Yeah, and look, I mean, again, it's not like the Eagles now suddenly are completely weak at safety. They have an all-pro in Malcolm Jenkins. Are they going to be able to use him in different ways as much? Probably not. I mean, they're still going to a lot when they have single safety in the backfield, and you still
they're definitely
going
to have to lean on him a lot more.
Yeah, but just sometimes you're not going to have two safeties with Jenkins moving around because, you know, again, who's that other safety going to be at this point? Do you want to take off Nigel Bradham or Jordan Hicks off the field to put that third safety out there if it's a Trey Sullivan, or if you go out in free agency and sign a Mike Mitchell? I mean, to me, it's not worth taking off Sidney Jones or Nigel Bradham for that. So having Malcolm Jenkins back there and Corey Graham, that should do the trick just fine. I mean, a lot of the time, if your defense has those two in the backfield with your three cornerbacks, Bradham and Hicks, and then your front four, I mean, that's 11 right there, and, you know, that's still a top five defense, so it's not going to kill the defense, but again, it will kind of tie their hands behind their back when it comes to what they can do on defense. Hey, let's take a quick break here on the Locked In Eagles podcast. When we come back, me and Lars have some other ideas of how maybe they can go about finding a third safety to play alongside Malcolm Jenkins and Corey Graham, as now Rodney McLeod out for the season with a torn MCL. That's coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. But first, I want to talk to you guys about MyBookie. You know, ever since myself, Lars, and Gino, ever since we started up this podcast, people have been asking us for advice, and usually it's on what team to bet on this week. And look, the truth is, we don't know who's going to win, but if you think you do, you should check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's right, Lars, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is really easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. You get paid, Lars. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. So Lars and I, we thank MyBookie for sponsoring the podcast today.
And I thank them for taking away some of my money.
All right, Lars, welcome back to the Lockdown Eagles podcast, segment 2 on this Thursday edition, September 27th, only a couple days away from the Eagles heading down to Nashville, Tennessee to take on Marcus Mariota and the 2-1 Tennessee Titans. We'll get into some bold predictions on the next segment, but Lars, we got to continue our talk with the loss of Rodney McLeod tearing his MCL out for the season for the Eagles, a big contributor on this defense. We talked about how maybe they're going to use Corey Graham, what Malcolm Jenkins' role is going to be, what, you know, possible formations. Now let's get into maybe some other options for bringing in different players, because right now on the roster they do have Trey Sullivan. They traded for DeAndre Hall, who was suspended the first game. He is back on the roster now, but not a lot of playing experience from him over with the Chicago Bears. So what do the Eagles want to do right now? What are their options if they want to use three safeties? I mean, again, Corey Graham, their third safety this year, has played 55% of the snaps. So there are times where in nickel and dime packages, they like to have three corners and they like to have three safeties. Or sometimes you just have three safeties and no nickel corner, and Malcolm Jenkins, your third safety, is that nickel corner because of how versatile he is. So if there's a tight end in the slot or a running back, sometimes maybe instead of Sidney Jones, even though I don't want Sidney Jones off the field, sometimes Malcolm Jenkins is that guy that matches up better as he's older, more refined in his route recognition, stuff like that. So some options that I want to suggest, Lars, I don't think that trading for Earl Thomas is realistic. I don't think the Eagles are going to give up a second round pick for him. If we're gonna throw draft picks at a rental player, give me Le'Veon Bell. That, you know. And by the way, go check out on LockedOnEagles.com. Gino Camilleri wrote a great piece about how the butterfly effect of maybe moving Nick Foles could bring the Eagles Le'Veon Bell, who Jason Lockenfora, not sure how much we should buy of his report, that the Eagles could be a sleeper team in the Le'Veon trade, but that's for tomorrow's podcast, Lars. But I would rather go for that than trading for Earl Thomas, because again, the Seahawks turned down the Cowboys trade offer of a second round pick. So what? You're going to give a first round pickup for a safety that for the Eagles? They don't even really need, truthfully. Again, not having Rodney McLeod's going to hurt, but it is not going to be the make or break for this Eagles team repeating as Super Bowl champions. At least I don't think, unless Corey Graham's a huge liability, which I think the defense is strong enough.
I don't think he will.
Yeah, and I think the defense is strong enough to mask that one liability. So for me, look, they have two corners right now that have a lot of traits that are similar to safeties. And they like to have cornerback history in their safety play. Malcolm Jenkins used to play corner at Ohio State, played a lot of corner with the Saints before he came, plays a lot of corner with the Eagles. Rodney McLeod as well with the Rams, and in college as well, he has a background with cornerback experience. Because again, they like to bring guys down, have one safety up top, have some safeties in the slot, and then in the box, going after the run, covering tight ends and running backs. So Rasul Douglas is sitting on the bench, not playing right now, because you have Jalen Mills, and you have Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones. Rasul Douglas has said he'll play defensive tackle if it means he's getting on the field. He's willing to do anything. He said he's comfortable at safety. The Eagles experimented on it a little bit throughout his 2 years with the Eagles in practices and in training camp. They have said in the summer that they don't view him as a safety, and they really like his development as an outside guy. But I think now that McLeod's gone, I think, Lars, you should really consider this. And then you don't have to move Mills, because to me, I think Mills is a better long-term solution at safety, you know, down the road when you don't have Jenkins or McLeod. But for now, if you move Mills to safety and then say you bump Rasul Douglas on the outside or Sidney Jones, then, so say you move Sidney Jones on the outside, then you're bringing Avante Maddox in the slot and Mills at safety, you're rotating three different positions. That's a lot of change. Whereas with Rasul Douglas, you can ideally keep your three corners intact and move Douglas back when you do want to use three safeties. Because for that, Rasul Douglas a lot of time will still be playing corner, because he'll essentially have the Corey Graham role, and Corey Graham will have the Rodney McLeod role up top.
Yeah, that's too much of a mess.
I don't know. I think it's really easy to transfer that now, because then Corey Graham is just the new McLeod and Rasul Douglas is the new Graham.
I got a little misconstrued there. With that, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, because then with like dime packages, if you're having like Corey Graham a lot of time is coming down and covering in the slot with, you know, another corner on the other side in the slot, that can be, I mean, Rasul Douglas right there, he can play on the outside as a corner, you move Mills inside, and you're just as good as you were before. Or I like how he translates as a deep safety as well. He's really good with route recognition. You saw him jump that pass intercepted against Atlanta on Thursday Night Football, covering Julio Jones on his only snap of the game, or one of two. So as a safety, Rasul Douglas will be able to see the field more. He'll be able to jump more passes like McLeod has done this year. I really like the idea of McLeod there. He's got a big frame. He's a big tackler, so he can come down against the run even if you want to put him in the box. I think there's a lot of things you could do with Rasul Douglas on this. And myself and Liam Jenkins of Philly Sports Network, actually in the summer, did a whole podcast on Rasul Douglas. You can go check it out on my Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE. I just tweeted it out. We did a whole thing on him, and Liam actually thinks, and he's a big secondary guy, that Douglas is a better player at safety eventually down the road. He thinks he has more safety traits to him than a corner. So,
Would you consider Rasul Douglas a bit of a gambler?
Absolutely. He's going to get burned at times, but that's why at safety you kind of limit that potential of just getting absolutely burned, because he doesn't have that makeup speed that an aggressive corner like Ronald Darby has.
Right, indeed. I actually do have one option that the Eagles could look into if it's possible. He could probably get it for cheap as well, considering Tyvon Branch. Had a really strong season with Arizona last year before he tore his ACL. Don't know exactly where he's at health-wise, but I would say he'd be worth a look. He was with Doug Peterson in Kansas City in 2015, so Peterson knows who he is. I'd say give him a look based on what happens this week.
Too bad Eric Reed literally just got signed by the Panthers today, probably a couple hours before hearing the news about Rodney McLeod, so probably the best safety on the open market got picked up a couple hours before we heard this news. So, I mean, that's kind of a bummer.
Carolina's a threat this year as well.
They are. So that's a tough loss. But look, if you ask me right now, I don't think the Eagles move Douglas to safety. They certainly are going to be bullish on Jalen Mills staying on the outside at least for one more year. So I don't think they entertain that idea. I mean, he's Jim Schwartz's boy. He's got Jim Schwartz has the ultimate man crush on Jalen Mills, Lars. It's just he's his guy. So.
And you have an ultimate man crush in that chia pet hair that he's got on.
I love it. But the Eagles probably do none of it, and they probably just stick with Corey Graham, maybe give DeAndre Hall some more looks. And if it's not working out after a couple weeks, maybe then they go to the open market and look at a Tavon Branch or a Mike Mitchell. That's probably what I would assume right now. If it was me, I'm giving Rasul Douglas looks. He is too good to be sitting on the bench. And I know it's just it's a good problem to have with all the depth they have at corner, but that's why now I use that depth to my advantage, and I put a versatile player like Rasul Douglas at safety, where people have also said eventually he could maybe translate to if you were to extend Ronald Darby, and you love Jalen Mills in the slot or staying on the outside. Then Rasul Douglas, eventually, you want to get that guy on the field. And I just think he's too good, even in year two, to be sitting on the bench. I'm pushing him at safety immediately. And then if he comes back a corner next year, so be it. He's a young, smart corner that could do both positions, if you ask me. So that's what I would do. But if I put my money on it right now, Lars, I don't think they do it.
I'd say for now, no, after this week. But if things go sour this Sunday against Tennessee, which I doubt because Tennessee doesn't have an offense that's geared towards throwing the ball a lot, especially considering Marcus Mariota's hand injury.
Right.
But I would say maybe not this week, but if they face a tough opponent later on in the season and they're getting torched in the secondary, they may look at a Tavon Branch or even TJ Ward.
Ooh, TJ Ward's a good name. I didn't even realize he was out. Yeah, he is on the open market.
Mm-hmm. Because remember when the Eagles were intending on signing either him or Jairus Byrd and they ended up getting Malcolm Jenkins?
Thank God. I wanted Jairus Byrd, but thank God they picked up Malcolm Jenkins. That was actually a move that not a lot of people liked.
Yeah, I'd say so, because I know that TJ Ward's had a very productive career. I think the one thing that could scare us, though, is that, man, he did not have a good season last year in Tampa.
Right, and we already have one older safety in Corey Graham, so do we really want to bank on the backfield being two older safeties? I mean, it's just suspect to me. That's why, again,
TJ's 31. It's not like he's a geriatric.
He's not young either, though, and he, again, was coming downhill the last couple years of his career so far. I mean, again, I'm not opposed to it because, again, it's not a huge role. We still – Corey Graham and Malcolm Jenkins are going to be your starting safeties. It, again, just gives you a little bit more versatility with that third safety. I put up a poll on Twitter, asked the fans who they would rather have move to safety between Rasul Douglas and Jalen Mills, since to me that's the preferred route. It seems like most fans – most media members are talking about is, hey, can one of these corners play safety so we can get all those guys on the field? 87% Lars said Rasul Douglas, 13% said Jalen Mills. So I think a lot of people like the idea of just moving one guy to safety and changing it up. Whereas with Mills, again, down the road, I'd much rather have Mills as our long-term safety with Douglas as an outside guy. But right now, you move Mills to safety, you gotta have an outside corner now, and then you have to have a new slot guy. If you decide Sidney Jones on the outside, then you gotta have Maddox, a rookie fourth-round pick, in the inside. So that could be three totally different guys starting in different positions. So it's gonna be interesting to see what they do, Lars. But for the most part, though, losing Ronnie McLeod is definitely tough. Wish they didn't have to deal with this only in week four.
But just before we end this segment.
Yep.
I'm going to make a prediction that they're going to take a look at Tavon Branch throughout this season. If Corey Graham ends up really struggling in the role heading down throughout the season, I think Tavon Branch could be a good signing for this team later on in the year.
All right, we'll see what they do, Lars. Let's take one more break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, some bold predictions for you as the Eagles take on the Tennessee Titans this Sunday. That's coming up for you right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the show. Louis DiBiase alongside one of my co-hosts in crime, Lars Lewis. Go Birds, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby. Thing is, let's get bold.
Okay, let's get bold.
Let's get bold.
All right, you want to start first? You want me to?
Yeah, you know what? I'll let you go. I'm going to let mine percolate a little bit.
All right. Me and you have had some pretty good success on these bold takes. Well, at the end of the year, we'll go down and we'll count them up. We'll see how we did at the end of the season.
I remember you kind of leaked what you were going to do for offense this week. And, yep. Man, I more power to you. If this ends up happening, I swear I'll be sure to buy you a cold one later the next week.
All right. So my offensive bold prediction. Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota, or is it Mariota or Mariota? He even mixes it up. It's like the Corey Clement and Corey Clement thing. Regardless, I think it's...
I know you and I have been at odds about that.
I always say Mariota. So Marcus Mariota and Carson Wentz.
You just...
Did I switch it up?
Yes, you did.
All right, Mariota. It's Mariota. I'm sticking with Mariota. Regardless, both of these two said young quarterbacks that were both... One was almost an Eagle, and one was an Eagle. They have a history of running the football. I say Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota combined for 3 rushing touchdowns on Sunday. I think the Titans are going to use Mariota as a runner a lot. I think his hand's going to be healthier. They don't have a lot of weapons right now. Delanie Walker out. They just cut Rishard Matthews. You know, I think to get this defense to kind of stall Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham, keep them guessing, not let them run around the field comfortable, wrecking havoc, make them have to keep an eye on Mariota, run a lot of read option. I think he scores one, maybe two. I'm not going to say who scores two, who scores one, because that's even bolder. Carson Wentz also got really comfortable in his first game, surprisingly, running around. He was more so making plays with his legs to open up the pass, but I think combined, they get 3 touchdowns in this game, Lars.
Dude, it is so – I can't even remember one game where there were 3 rushing touchdowns by quarterbacks.
Well, that's why these are bold predictions. That's why these are bold predictions, sir.
What are we playing, Army-Navy this week?
I mean, it could be that kind of game.
I consider more of that from Tennessee than I would Philadelphia. But, you know, be that as it may, it's your bold prediction. You should live by it.
I'm a man of my convictions.
I believe me, I know that. And you know what? If you're right, I will say I was wrong. I'll eat my hat, and I'll say that you're right.
All right.
But what do you got on defense? I want to know what you got on defense, bruh.
So on defense, I am going to go with a person we were just talking about, actually. Rasul Douglas. I think Rasul Douglas gets on the field for, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I think maybe they're going to, with Malcolm Jenkins back at safety, maybe sometimes if they're in the dime, they use Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas gets another interception in this game, and it's bold because he really hasn't touched the field since his last interception. I think somehow he's going to get back on the field again in this one, and he's going to get another interception. I think this is the Rasul Douglas show. I think that, look, people know Rasul Douglas is one of the my guys for the Eagles, for me, and I want him to have a role on this team, and whether it, again, today, maybe on Sunday, they do give him some looks at safety. I don't know if they just, I mean, they haven't said anything about it, but keep it under wraps, maybe. Maybe not, but I say Rasul Douglas gets another interception on defense.
There's one thing that kind of concerns me about that prediction is because Marcus Mariota still has a banged up hand. He's not going to throw the ball very much, and if he does, he's not going to throw it deep. I just don't see Rasul Douglas being able to get an interception because I think Tennessee might not even give him an opportunity to do it.
He doesn't need it to go deep for him to make picks. This is my thing, too, with Douglas. He's really good when he's playing off the ball, coming down and closing with those lengthy arms. He did it a lot at West Virginia, too, at making picks. And with Mariota's, with that arm not being 100%, he's not going to be able to get the same zip on the ball, which is what he struggled with against Miami, and it's why he threw 2 picks in that game, because he was injured in that one. So give me Douglas here. Again, bold predictions, Lars. So I got to go out on a limb. So I think my two are pretty bold. For you, what do you got on offense?
Well, you mind if I start defense first?
Yeah, go defense. That's
okay,
fine.
So the one thing with Tennessee is they're getting Jack Conklin back this Sunday, their right tackle for the game against Philadelphia. He was a full participant in the practices yesterday, and he is definitely going to help out Marcus Mariota a lot, considering that Tennessee has had some tough luck with their offensive line. Kevin Pamphilou started the past 2 games. He had surgery to repair a triceps he injured against the Jaguars back on Sunday, and Taylor Lewan's missed a game with a concussion. And Dennis Kelly, their backup, he was slated to start in Week 2. He hasn't played or practiced since an illness hospitalized him before the Houston game the week before. So right now, that line is in rough shape. And I think Conklin does kind of shore it up a little bit, but don't be surprised. I'm saying right now, Fletcher Cox gets 2 sacks in this game.
That would put him at, I think, what, 5 on the season?
I'd say they may line him up against Conklin, and Conklin hasn't played this season. Right now, Fletcher Cox, as good of a tackle Jack Conklin is, and he is, Fletcher Cox knows that he's going to be a little rusty. He's going to go right at him.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox has 3 sacks in 3 games already. So, man, that would put him at 5. Defensive Player of the Year candidate, Lars.
I say he gets 2. He gets 2 for Sunday.
I like it. What about for offense?
Offense? You know, I was pondering this all day. And I was thinking, what could be bold? Something that can stand out. Now, usually I was going to say that Carson Wentz was going to throw at least 3 touchdowns in this game, but that doesn't seem bold because he can do that any week he wants.
Right.
So I'm going to take a bit of a different route. I would say that playing a team like Tennessee that prevents you from having the big play, they actually do a really good job of keeping everybody bottled up. I would say Philly's going to attack on the ground, And I say Carson Wentz gets over 35 yards rushing in this game.
So we both got some running bold predictions on the offensive side.
I think Carson's going to get two rushing touchdowns, but I do think he's going to get 40 yards rushing in this game against Tennessee. I feel like it's going to be that kind of game where it's going to be between the tackles. There's going to be a lot of running. It's going to be just like the Titans and the Jaguars on Sunday. And I think Philly can play that style and be able to play it well, considering most of the offense is healthy. But I sort of get the feeling it's going to be that kind of game.
Okay. Hey, Lars, before we end the show, give me a prediction on the game.
Ooh, man. Tell you what, it's not going to be pretty. But I think two Jake Elliott field goals in the fourth quarter, they win it by a score of 19-13.
19-13. I like it, Lars. We both have the Eagles winning this and going to 3-1. Hopefully it happens. Lars, thanks for being on the show today, man.
Oh, it was a real pleasure. Always having fun here in the Lockdown Podcast Network. And hope all our listeners truly loved it as well. We've got plenty more content coming at you, whether it be through our podcast, whether it be through our written material. I'm going to have some written material coming up soon, some Throwback Thursday stuff, along with some other great stuff as well. And Louie, I got to say, I truly love being here, and I can't thank you enough for having me join the nest, known as the Lockdown Eagles Podcast Network.
Absolutely, Lars. Love having you on board. That's going to do it for me and Lars today. We will see you tomorrow. Please subscribe to the show, LockdownEagles.com, or on any podcast platform you can find. That's going to do it for Lars Lewis and myself, Louie DiBiase. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds!
Birds!